Welcome, everybody. Happy Easter. And, you know, Easter for some people are chocolates and Easter bunnies. But for the Christian community, it's a special day on God's calendar. Amen. And so we come to celebrate this special day. And I want to start off where I left off on Good Friday and with a few verses from John chapter 14 and verses 1, 2, and 3. Where the Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And, you know, we focused on that line in the second verse, "I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus' reason for coming was to prepare a place for us. Hallelujah. And the first stop that he had was the cross of Calvary in that preparation. And Jesus went to the cross to buy a pardon for us. And, you know, have you had your pardon yet? You know? And the reason you need it is because you can't get into heaven without it. And I would issue them here, but I don't have any authority to give pardons out. As a matter of fact, I need one myself. And so if you want a pardon, and you know a pardon is to be exempt from every crime, every sin you've ever committed in your life, Jesus gives pardons. Amen. But you have to ask for it. It's not an automatic thing. He died on the cross for our sins. And we can have a pardon if we ask him for it. And you may have heard this saying, that Jesus came on that first Easter and entered into the Satan's domain, and he came away with the keys of Hades and the keys of death. You ever heard that? Amen. That means Jesus has all authority over those areas. And Revelation 1:18 backs up what I just said. "I am he who was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore." Amen. I have the keys of Hades and death. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And, you know, Jesus proved that he has all authority over death when he rose from the dead. When he left an empty grave behind, he proved to all of us that he is the resurrection and the dead of the dead. Or he is the firstborn from the dead. Let me put it that way. And Satan thought he had it all taken care of. He killed the Son of God on the cross, but he didn't anticipate what was going to happen next. And in Mark, let's go to Mark 16 and read a few verses from there. And verse 1 says, "Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him." And so they were going to anoint the body of Jesus. And, you know, why is it that women are way braver than men? You know, the 12 apostles were sitting somewhere and their knees knocking together. And here God sent a bunch of women down to bring some spices and whatnot to anoint Jesus with. And you got to take your hats off to the women. They were first in line here. And very early in the morning and on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in long white robes sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. Ever seen an angel? They seen what looked like a young man in a long white robe in the tomb. And you know what he told them? He said, "But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen.'" Hallelujah. And you're looking for the dead among the living. Hallelujah. Jesus is risen. He is not here. See the place where they lay him? And so this must have been a shocking news to them, because they weren't getting this revelation. And Jesus was alive. He had risen from the dead. And how many know that that first Easter morning, something happened that was non-existent in our world before? That's what Easter is all about, and that's the most beautiful thing. If you only take one thing home with you today, take this home, that Jesus came to create something that was non-existent before, that was never around before. Jesus came to create that. How many know what it says in John 1:3? It says that Jesus, nothing was created without him. That's what it says. He created all things. That means he was in the beginning and with the Father, or he was the Father. Jesus and God are one, and he created all things in Genesis, and now Jesus came on that first Easter, and he was creating something that was non-existent before. He was opening up a door that had been sealed shut, and it's good news for us. Hallelujah. It's real good news. And so it, just a little verse from Colossians that tells us that Jesus is the creator of all things. So I want to back it up by the scripture. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And so Jesus created all things. And when Jesus came, he came to create. Creation isn't done yet. No, Jesus came on that very first Easter, and he created something that was non-existent before. And, you know, he was God wrapped in flesh. Amen, who came. And when I say that he created something that was non-existent, the first thing he did, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And so he removed our sins to qualify us for his great plans and purposes of what he was up to. Amen. And Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. How many know what Genesis 1:26 says? It's way back in the beginning. And God said, let us make man in our image. And guess who the first one off the assembly line was? Jesus was the first one. Hallelujah. The first one made in man's image. The rest were marred by sin, and their lives were shipwrecked. You know, I know I was one of them. And but Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. He was the first one to fulfill Genesis 1:26, where it says God made man in his own image. He's the first one. You know, I worked in sheet metal for 35 years, and we would make prototypes all the time. We'd make a first of to see if it was going to work. But God, Jesus was God's prototype. Hallelujah. The first off the assembly line. Amen. He was raised from the dead. And he was the beginning of something. He was the beginning of a new creation. And the whole world's asleep. They don't know about this new creation that came along. And Jesus came to start Genesis all over again. He did. He came to start it all over again. And the only escape you're going to have from the grave is to accept Jesus and ask him to cause you to be born of the Spirit of God. And he does. He causes us to be born of the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And Jesus came and opened up a door to a new creation. And in our world today, you're either part of this movement of the new creation or you're part of the old creation. And the old creation is slipping away. The old creation's passing away. But the new creation, hallelujah, are finding new life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you know, you got to experience it. Can't just hear about it, you know. And you know the saying, it's better felt than telt, right? Amen. And so we're in transition. And we invite Jesus into our life. Okay. Okay, you brought this great salvation. Come and let it work in me. Make it real to me. It's not good enough that it's real to Jeff. I need to have the same experience or something like it myself. Amen. So come and make yourself real to me, Lord. I want this to be real. I mean, I want a real relationship with you. I don't want to read it in a book. I don't want to read about somebody else's experience. I want it in my own experience. I want to experience you. I want each one of you to experience him. And I know most of you have, maybe all of you, but hallelujah. There's no greater joy than experiencing the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this was the beginning of a new creation. New creation of God. And we're either part of the old or part of the new. And everybody knows these verses because I read them so often. Revelation 21:1. No, I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heavens and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Amen. Going to be a new heavens and a new earth. I know the politicians tell us that. I'll make this a better world for you and for your grandchildren. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And the former is passing away. And when you see all the trouble in the world today, you can know it's passing away. It's not doing too good. Amen. And unless the Lord gives us a mouth-to-mouth, the world's going to pass away sooner or later. And everybody that's part of this old creation is going to pass away with it. And that's why Jesus invites us. That's why he's calling to us. And that's why on Easter he came and he started something that didn't exist before. He opened up a door into a new creation. Hallelujah. And, you know, he's the last Adam. Jesus is called the last Adam because, you know, the first Adam failed. You know, if he was an athlete, it's first Adam would have shot the puck in his own net. Yeah, he would have struck out at the plate. He would have fumbled the football. He did all those things. The first Adam failed. Amen. And Jesus is called the last Adam. Amen. Jesus wasn't going to fail. Let's look at the first Adam just for a second. And, you know, he was kind of like Jesus. You know, Jesus was the firstborn. He was one of a kind. No one ever rose from the dead was embodied with flesh. No one had ever had that happen before. And so Jesus was all alone. He was just one of a kind. There was no more than that. And, you know, there was a time when the first Adam was all alone. Can you imagine being the only human on earth? His companions were cattle, goats, sheep, I guess. I don't know who he hung around with, but it says in chapter 2, verse 18, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to himself. And that's what the Lord did. And in verse 21, it says that the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And as he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Wow.